Well, good morning. We've had some technical difficulties this morning. So joy. That is the message of the Philippians. How many of you have joy this morning? I have some joy. I have joy because I'm here with you guys. You guys bring me joy. We're going to be on Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Only one verse today. Because it's got a lot. It's packed full of good stuff. But joy is the message of the Philippians. And before we get into the first part of the verse, which is about joy, I'm going to go to the second part of the verse. One of the things I noticed that there was a lot of repeating by Paul in Philippians about joy and about different topics. And I was starting to get a little concerned that House and I were going to start sounding like broken records, repeating and repeating and repeating and trying to come in with fresh stuff, right? Until I read the second part of the verse, because I was really concentrating on the first part of the verse, and then it was really just yesterday, I really concentrated on the second part of the verse. And it says, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. I actually don't get tired of telling you guys these things. I know House doesn't either. One, it helps us remember, and it helps train us, basically, to live a better Christian life and live more like Jesus. But we never get tired of telling you guys the same because we want it to be a reminder to you. And how many times have you left here, and I've done it too, and I think, what did House say? Someone asked me, well, what was the sermon about? Joy? Well, what did he say? I don't know. Sorry. We need to keep repeating it so it'll sink in, so it'll go deep, not just in our heads and fly out, but so that we are living and breathing in it, so that it goes deep into our souls, into our spirit, and we do it to safeguard your faith. It does not take much for our faith to be shaken and shattered. And so we continue to repeat how to do things, what to feel, how to live, so that we can safeguard your faith, so that you can be ready. Wendy shared this morning that someone said something and it just zapped her joy because she wasn't on guard. We repeat things to safeguard your faith so that you will be on guard always, that no matter what anyone says or does to you, it doesn't sap your joy. It doesn't shake your faith. So that's why we repeat it. So before we get into the first half of the verse, we're talking about joy and rejoicing today, but we need to kind of define joy and happiness. Happiness comes from the outside. It's outside influences or influencers are making us happy, right? I get a new car. I'm really happy. I get a ding. Ooh, not so happy, right? In an instant, a while ago when I had one of my new cars, I'd had it maybe a month. I was so excited. My little red convertible. Ooh. Didn't even have the plates on. It got hit from behind. Smashed my new bumper. Not happy. But happiness is coming from the outside. It's the little things that make us happy, but they're gone as soon as they're gone. Okay? Joy, that comes from deep within us. That comes from the inside. And our joy from deep inside of us will go out and influence others. Right? So happiness is outside in. Joy inside out. Joy comes from God. It is the thing that helps us to find peace, comfort, contentment, not complacency, but contentment in our lives. When we have joy, just things seem right in the world. That's what joy is about. So let's get to the verse. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice, be joyful, be glad in the Lord. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. So, some people, have you ever met those crabby people? And they say, I'm just born that way, right? They're negative, they're crabby. Kim, Kim is not that person. She always says she is, but she isn't. Well, we weren't born that way. We were born with pure joy. We were born this way. This is one of my favorite pictures of Everett, if you didn't recognize him. Our little boy, he's not here today. He just turned 3 on Friday. And this was just taken a few weeks ago. And that is pure joy. How do I know that's joy and not happiness? I was holding him, and we were in line at Disneyland. He hates being in line at Disneyland. He is never happy. So this is pure joy. And we were born in joy, with joy. Why? Because God made us. We were created in God's image, and God is joy. His kingdom is joy. Christ is joy. Holy Spirit gives us joy. I know. Can you just look at that picture all day? Just feel happy and joyful. I know. I just love it. I love it. But we were born with joy. So whatever happens, the very first two words, whatever happens, we should always have that joy. Whatever happens, we should always have that joy. But it doesn't always happen that way. I'm not moving. There we go. Here's my question. Why do we allow the world to put the burdens on us and suck the joy from our lives? What outside influences are you allowing to steal your joy? And don't tell me that it hasn't happened to you, because I know it has. It happens to me all the time. We allow the things in this world, the stress, the anxiety, the anger, the hate, to come into our lives and steal our joy. Like Wendy said this morning, one person said one thing and her joy was gone. Why do we allow that? Well, there's a couple things. But first, what are your joy stealers? Is it regret, unforgiveness, anger, hate, envy, jealousy, comparison, finances, relationships, stress, anxiety, complaining, guilt, negative self-talk, negative thoughts, negative people that surround you? What steals your joy? And I can tell you that at some point in time in my life, every single one of those have stolen my joy. This week, I am going to tell you that it was people that were negative and complaining that were stealing my joy this week. I also had a little envy. That was envy and jealousy together, envy. My new word, thank you very much, Webster Dictionary. Envy and jealousy. Because if somebody I knew went on this, got this great trip, and I'm like, I want that trip. I was jealous. And it stole my joy because I allowed it to. So what are your joy stealers? What are your joy stealers? So why do we let this happen? Oops. Why do we let this happen? Well, one, it can become a habit. We just get into that habit of complaining. That's why these purple bands that we're wearing, I am wearing it, there it is, are so good to try to break that habit. Yeah, I've changed it. I think I've gone 1 or 2 days, maybe at the most, because it's a habit. Maybe we were raised in a negative environment. Who knows? It can be how we were raised. Society as a whole. How many of you think that our society as a whole is really joyful and happy? No. Society. You just have to look on Facebook and see what society is doing. It is full of anger and anxiety and stress and opinions and frustration. And if you don't have the opinion that I have, then you're wrong and you'll get blasted and yelled at. So I don't post anything that I'm going to get blasted and yelled at, because I don't like that. Society, ungrateful. We're not. This morning we kind of practiced a little bit of rejoicing and being grateful. But being ungrateful can steal our joy when we don't see the blessings in the midst of the whatevers, whatever our situation is. That can steal our joys. Lack of trust and faith in God can steal our joy. When we are not grounded in the one who created us, we cannot have joy. Joy does not come from the outside. Our parents, our friends, our husbands, our wives, our workers, our coworkers, our employers, our money, our houses, our stuff. None of that can bring us joy. That can bring us temporary happiness, but none of that can bring us joy. It is only the one who created us that can give us that joy. So lack of trust in God and faith in God can really rob us of all joy. So what can we do? My thing went off. Well, remember, joy comes from the inside. So whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice, be joyful, be glad in the Lord. Joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. When we have joy, we will have contentment. We will have confidence. We will have hope. We will have strength. We will have wisdom and knowledge. We'll be able to discern what's going on in our lives and in the world. It's a state of mind. It's a like-mindedness with Christ, because our joy comes from Christ. Next slide. This is a Graham Cook quote that I really love. I've had it for a while. The kingdom of heaven, which is an environment of joy, is that we are carriers of joy wherever we go. Why are we carriers of joy? Because we're made in the image of God. Where does God live? In the kingdom. Where it's the kingdom? Joy. Okay, got that? Good. There is something about you that is linked inextricably to the joy, the pleasure, and the delight of God, and we are learning to live every day under His smile. I love that we are learning to live every day under God's smile, under His joy. The kingdom of heaven is a joy. And so when we learn to live in that kingdom, and remember, Jesus taught us to pray on earth as in heaven, on earth as in the kingdom. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is here. We should be joyful. We should be rejoicing. We should be glad. So, and learn how to live under God's smile. So what do we do? First thing is gratitude. Gratitude leads to joy. And Max Lucado, I'm reading this book, and he said, nothing silences grump like gratitude. If you're grumpy, and so yesterday I tried it because I got really grumpy, and I went, okay, I'm going to do it. Lord, thank you for. And instantly my mood started changing. Gratitude can change how we perceive what is going on in our life right then, right now, forever. So when we're grateful, no matter what is going on, and the whatevers, because he said whatever is happening, rejoice in the Lord. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. What are some circumstances that are weighing you down right now? Can you be thankful in them? What are you thankful for? I've told this story before. When my house flooded, 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard this pop, explosion, and waterfall sounding. And my hot water tank exploded, and I had hot water spewing in my kitchen, which was now ankle deep with water. And I was not happy, and I was not joyful. And I remembered my dear loving friend, Joe Johnson, Papa Joe, Pastor Joe, saying, be thankful in all circumstances. All right, Joe, I'm going to be thankful. I did not start out thankful. I started out angry. Thank you, God, for my mop. Thank you, God, for my towels. And I went on and on and on. It took a while because I was cleaning up a mess. But I got to being in this grateful mood, in this joyous mood. Even though I was exhausted, I was hot and sweaty and wet. Thank you, God, I was home. I had just returned home a day late before. What if I'd been gone when this happened? Thank you, God, for that I was home. Thank you, God. Can you be thankful in all circumstances? I've told you this before. The night of Mike's death, I started thanking God. I couldn't pray, but I thanked God. Thank you, God, for the moon, the stars, the sky. Thank you, God, for my bed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, until I was really thankful. Thank you, God, for letting us know, Mike. Be thankful in all circumstances. Gratitude leads to joy. Abide. I love this word. Abide in the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Abiding means being in His presence, sinking deep with Him, living with Him, letting Him live inside of you. Let Him abide in your heart, and you abide with Him. And the ways we do that first is the word. You're, your statutes, your laws, your words are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. When you read his word, do you feel his joy and his love for you in those words? Do you feel joy when you read the word, or do you just do it to check off your box? Ask the Lord to bring his joy through his word into your life, and I promise you it will happen. So one, how we can abide is in his word. The second way is prayer. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. 1 Chronicles 16:10. Prayer. Prayer can go two ways. Us talking to him and him talking to us. In prayer, we can get closer to him, which will bring us joy. When I, you know, we all get busy and our prayer lives will suffer. All of us have done it. House and I admit that fully. And when I get out of my prayer routine, my joy suffers because I'm not that close to God. I'm not in his presence on a daily basis, or I don't feel his presence because I'm not talking and I'm not listening. So the glory in his holy name, let the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Those of us that pray, that we get into that prayer mode and we can talk to the Father and allow him to talk to us, that's when we will find pure joy because we are in his presence. And the last one is worship. What we were doing this morning. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Luke 10:21. Jesus worshiped. Are we worshiping? Not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. Worship is one of the best ways to draw close to God, to get into his throne room, to be at his feet. We must worship. And it doesn't always have to be about the singing. We can worship I worship in silence. There are times where if you see and I stop singing, trust me, I'm in the throne room. I am gone. And people will tap me on the shoulder and I will jump because I have no awareness of what's going on around me because I am so focused in on worship and who God is for me and what he's doing through me and in me. Worship can be multiple different ways. Find your worship sweet spot and do it every day. It doesn't have to be for an hour. Start with a couple minutes, 5 minutes. Just start. Maybe it's just sitting in silence and listening. Maybe it's listening to Christian music and singing along. Maybe it's just saying words, Lord, you are awesome. You are good. You are loving. You are kind. That is worship. Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven. He's saying, God, I know who you are. That's what worship is. I know who you are, and I know who you are for me. Worship. Find your sweet spot in worship. Do it every day, and your joy will be complete, and you will be full of joy through the Holy Spirit as Jesus is. Last one, generosity. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. How many of you can say that in the midst of a severe trial and your extreme poverty that you could be filled with joy and be generous? It's a hard thing to do. The Lord spoke to me this morning as we were in prayer and he says, you know, it's not about you. It's not about your things. It's about me. Can your joy be complete in me? In the severest of trials, in extreme poverty, can you be generous? There was a time where I was in a severe trial. I was laid off from a job, and I had a mortgage and all my bills. I was diagnosed with depression. I was having some anxiety problems, a lot of stress. It was a severe trial. And I may not have been in extreme poverty, but I had no money. I had like $600 a month coming in. That was it. That did not pay my mortgage. And one day I had $5 on me. It was to last me 2 weeks. And some of you are going, yeah, I know that feeling. And somebody came up to me and asked me if I had $5 so that they could put gas in their car. And I just laughed at him. I'm like, you know, I'm so sorry. I just can't. I said, I only have a few bucks in my wallet and I'm not working. And to tell you the truth, I was going to treat myself with a Starbucks because I felt so bad for myself. And I'm like, mess with you. No way. I want it for myself. I thought I can get a tea for like $2 and then I'll have $3 to last me a week. Yoo-hoo! And I had food in my, I knew I had some food. And if not, I could go to my siblings or my parents' house and get food. And I walked away and they're like, oh, we totally understand. Oh, God bless you. And kind of made me feel a little guilty because I wasn't giving them my $5, but it was the only thing I had. And the Lord said, are you kidding me? After all that I have provided for you, you couldn't give him your $5? Don't you trust me? Oh my gosh. Yes, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And he's like, go back, find him. And I said, can I put my, I had a lot of stuff. I was on the music team. I had stuff. And I said, can I go put my stuff down? He goes, yes. So I ran to my car, put my stuff down, grabbed my $5. And we were at the big, at our, before Robinwood was even planned. So we were at Grace. I'm running around campus. Do you know where so-and-so is? Do you know where so-and-so is? I have to find him. And I found him. And I said, here, the Lord told me you needed it more than I did. And to give it to you. And he goes, no, I can't take it. No, you have to take it. You have to take it. And I said, no, the Lord wants me to give it to you. He goes, but you don't have anything else. And I go, no, I have more than enough. God will provide. So I went home and I felt joy because I didn't hold on to it for myself. And a little bit later, about an hour later, I was taking off to a Crecio event and I found enough change. God just kept showing me coins. And I have enough change to buy tea, just a little tea. And I'm just like, oh, God, you are so great. I love you. Thank you. And then about 3 days later, someone walked up to me and shoved something in my pocket at church. And I'm like, what are you doing? Nothing. Just I'll see you later. And it was $50 with a note saying, God told me to give this to you. You are so faithful to him. Cool. This is awesome. And then 4 days after that, someone came up to me and said, I want to give you this because God says you are faithful to him. It was a check for $250. Generosity brought so many things, but it wasn't the money that brought me joy. It was the act of giving this person $5. The benefits that came were great afterwards because it helped me pay bills. It helped me put food on my table, keep my roof over my head. But it wasn't that that brought me joy. It was the actual act of handing over the last $5 I had. Generosity will bring us joy. Generosity will bring us joy. When this world tells us that we need to be angry and that we need to be stressed out and anxiety filled, that we need to be depressed, that we need to be frustrated. God says, no, you don't. Because in me, you will find strength and in me, you will find joy. Devin, I'm going to have you come on up. I had to end with this. This is my verse. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This verse came to me while I was in severe trial during that time. And the Lord says, my joy will be your strength. My joy. It is nothing that you can do to bring joy. It is only in me that you will find joy. And it will be your strength to get through the whatevers of this life. Whatever is going on, the Lord says, my joy will make it complete. My joy will be your strength. My joy will be your hope. My joy will fulfill you, make you, give you peace, make you content. My joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. as we leave today, well, as we finish up today, I ended with Everett's picture again. Pure joy. Joy like that I want. Joy doesn't always mean happy faces or no tears. Joy is in the midst of those things. Pure joy. The joy we were born with, the Lord wants to bring out of us. Today, will you choose joy and not allow the world and our society to suck it out of you? Choose joy. Father God, we just thank you today for your joy. Your joy that gives us strength and peace, gives us hope and contentment. Lord, and for those of us that may not feel your joy today, Lord, let a simple act or a simple word remind each person here how much you love them. And that if they choose you, that they choose joy. Let your joy overflow today, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.